Praise the Lord. Welcome to Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're just going to get started here, and I just want to welcome everyone online. We have a limited crew today, but we're going to worship the Lord anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want you to join us. I'm going to move here to the piano, this is Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee, and we're just so glad to have you. We're going to have some worship and liturgy, and then Pastor Ed Bowers is with us today for the message. Rabbi Joe is fighting COVID, so we appreciate your prayers, but he'll probably be watching online as well with you, and he'll be back next week. So, hallelujah. Let's begin with worship and welcoming the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Praise the Lord. Let's just bless the Messiah. He is the one who gives us life and gives us eternal life. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu adorech Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua.
Amen. Amen.
Thy holiness,
Oh, Lord, I love the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord, my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem.
Shabbat for the land of Israel, Lord. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We know that many nations are staging the warfare that's going to come, Lord, to try to destroy God's land and God's people. But we know that you're still on the throne and nothing is going to bother or touch Israel unless it's deemed by your hand, Lord. And we just pray today for everyone that's here, the people that are sick, that we know of. Rabbi Joseph is... we've already mentioned it has the COVID. We pray for his healing. We pray also that he'll be able to go back to Florida for the procedure that he's been accepted for, that can come. And Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone else here and within our congregation, within our voices that have problems this morning, Lord, that have illnesses. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless them. Bless us as a congregation, Lord. We pray for all the Messianic communities around the world, Lord, that you would bless the speakers today, the dancers, Lord, the worship music, that it will flow, Lord, and people will be drawn to you, Lord. That's the purpose of why we're here today, is to draw others to you. And so in doing so, Lord, we just pray and ask that you will bless our service this morning as we come to observe Shabbat, Lord, this morning. And it's in your name and in Yeshua's name that we pray this morning. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thou art the Lord of glory.
Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto, Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah.
Barku Adonai Hamvarath.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarath Elam Ba'ed.
Baruch Adonai Elam Laham Ba'ed.
Baruch Adonai Elohim Melech Ha'olam. Asher Bakar Banu Miko Ha'amin. Ve'natan Lanu Et Torato.
Baruch Adonai Elohim. No Tame Ma Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Okay, we're starting the last book of the Torah, Devarim, or you may know it by as Deuteronomy. Maybe it's more interesting. That's the word that most people associate with rather than Devarim. But if you say Devarim, it gets people's attention. So sometimes we use something like that just to see if they're awake. They're not. Like this morning, I was asleep at the red light. And Deborah, she had to nudge me right there behind me, waving. I just kept, you know. Oh, well. Today's Torah portion is called Devarim, and it means words. And when you look, you know, there's a prophecy just in the books of the Torah. And I'll talk about that a little bit. But I first wanted to tell you, tonight at sundown begins the Feast of Tish B'Av. Now, a lot of you may not know what that is. It's on the 9th of Av. And a lot of it's the saddest day on the Hebrew calendar is the 9th of Av. And the reason why it's the saddest time is because so many horrible things happened on that day. And, you know, we've talked about these. I just mentioned a couple of them here. The 12 spies came back from the land of Cana with their investigation. 10 of them, you know, were not very favorable going into the land, and 2 was. So that happened on the 9th of Oz. Both temples were destroyed on the 9th of Oz. The temple that Solomon built was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar on the 9th of Oz. The temple that was built by Ezra and Nehemiah was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. Also, the first crusades that went into, into France and those areas started on the 9th of Av, and millions of Jewish people were killed because of the Holy Crusades, if you want to express them that way. Also, my ancestors were expelled from Portugal and in Spain on the 9th of Av. And that date was 1492. And I was telling her about my great-great-nephew. My great-great-uncle, his name was Christopher Columbus. And his dad's name was Christopher Columbus. So I'm not saying related. I'm just saying they had the name. So, and also, World War I started on the 9th of Av. A whole world war, and there's a lot more that we won't mention this morning, but gives you some idea why that is called the saddest day in the Hebrew calendar is the 9th of Av. A lot of horrible things happened, started on that day. If you read the Torah this morning, you know that Devarim is about, it's a recount of the Torah by Moses, and it's just before he is going to go up into the mountain, and he will be taken by God. So it's a recount. It's Moses telling the Israelites all about what's happened. And that's why it's called the words. And it started actually with Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. A lot of people think Mount Sinai is on the peninsula of Sinai, but it's actually in Saudi Arabia. It's not near there. I don't know how geographically how close they are. But, you know, Moses is, these are his words. That's why God says these are the words. And Moses is repeating the Torah back to the children of Israel. He's reviewing the events that occurred in the instructions that God had given to Moses to give to the Israelites on how to live. And so he rebuked the people for their failing to observe the things and the iniquities that they had been involved in, all of the sinful things, the following after the pagan women and the pagan gods. Israel couldn't seem to, it was like a moth to a flame. They couldn't seem to get away from it. They kept, you know, being guided back. And a lot of people were influencing them to do that, to trying to destroy them. He tells them to keep the Torah and observe all the commandments within it, for the Lord your God is giving them to you as an eternal heritage. The Torah is an eternal heritage. His word will never go away, no matter how long we live here or don't live here, or how long its earth stays in existence. It will still be God's word, an eternal heritage to the Jewish people. And if you read this day, you'll know Moses is a quite different person today in the Torah than he was when his knees were banging when he went to see Pharaoh, because he was very scared. He was slow of speech. He took his brother with him to sort of hold him up. And, you know, Pharaoh didn't know who God was. He says, well, I'm God. Who else is another God here? You know, and they weren't going to say, no, there's not another God here. So Moses is a different man today than he was. He listened to God. He tells Joshua, he's going to succeed him, that you will take the people over to the promised land. And he says, fear them not, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And that's, it was the Torah. With the Ark of the Covenant going forward in the Word of God, Joshua fought and they took over Israel. And he tells them to repent of the things that they have done that is unpleasing to God. And so we see here with the land of Cana, you know, when they went into the land of Cana, it only could be conquered by the covenants of God and the promises and the preservation of the leadership that God had instilled in those people in Israel. See, repentance removes sin, but it did not change the procedure for Israel to acquire the promised land. God had set up a process that he wanted. But Israel did not, the Israelites did not necessarily want to follow what God had given to Moses as how they would conquer the land of Egypt. The land of Israel. They wanted to do it their way, sort of like the song, but you know, they had to do it God's way. That's the same for us today. We must do it God's way, because most of us are all failures when we try to do things our way. It just doesn't work. And the Torah is still true today. There is a procedure for the messianic redemption. God has a plan for us. Anything else that we try to come up with is going to fail. It's not going to be successful for the kingdom of God. And see, the Torah precedes this world. It descends and encloses us within itself in this world, and it speaks about really ordinary things in life that we encounter, like things about agriculture, things about operating a business, things about how to live in your marriage, and things like that. So the Torah is the essence of God. It is his will and it is wisdom for us to be a unity for him, to serve and to worship him. You see, the Torah is, God is relating to us in what he is doing within the Torah. Each book gives us a part of God's plan and his intentions. And if you look at the five books of the Torah, it gives us a prophecy that God has got even within the books of the names of the books of his Bible. And that is, the Torah. Genesis, which is Bereshit, it says, in the beginning. Exodus, which is Shemot, it says, these are the names. And then we have Leviticus, which is Varika, and it says, called out ones, the people that are called out. Numbers is Bamar, it means they were in the wilderness. And then Deuteronomy is Varim, that we're doing studying this month, and it is the words of God. So there's a prophecy in the beginning. These are the names. These are the called out ones. They're in the wilderness, and these are the words that God has given to him. So it's a prophecy right within the names. The whole study of the Torah will lead people to God. And each leader, you know, when they had, Moses couldn't do it all, so he had 70 leaders. And they had a great burden to leading the people of Israel and guiding and directing them back to God's sons, really where they were trying to get back to. And there was three things that they had to possess to do that leadership, and we'll close with it. It was called Chokmah, which means wisdom. They had to have wisdom to be able to lead these millions of Israelites. They had to have Binah, which was understanding. You had to understand what God wanted. They had to understand his covenants and the things of God. Da'at was the knowledge. God had to give them the knowledge. And all of this was wrapped around a term in Hebrew that's called enumah, which means faith. God gives us faith to survive in this world today. And without his faith, we're not going to make it through. Shabbat shalom.
Hallelujah.
Peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I apologize. My voice is not strong today. I mean, we have taken a hit here, and I'm not quite the usual singing, and so I'm trying to preserve so that we can get through and enjoy the Lord together. I'm going to put some tracks on to help with the worship today. So, but we're going to worship, amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the devil throws at us, and, you know, I tested positive earlier, but then, you know, I've tested negative. Everything is fine. I'm feeling great. But, you know, as soon as I try to talk, that little, it's just, you know, tries to make, it's coming against me, making a joyful noise, but the devil won't stop me. Hallelujah. And we're praying for everyone out there who's also struggling, you know, that Tom and Carrie, that Tom had came down with some bronchitis. So, and also Aja has gone into the hospital last week. And Dave, did I hear that you had gotten COVID, or was that?
No, I tested negative.
You tested negative, okay. I know that Diane and Dave, maybe that was Dave, Diane and Dave. Anyway, they had gotten it, and I think they're on their weekend up in Michigan. We're praying for her father-in-law, who is sick, very ill. And so we don't know if it's a serious enough sickness or whatever. Anyway, they're going to spend time with their father-in-law. He's a wonderful man, and his wife, a preacher, and they come and visit us, so our prayers are with the Van Wise. Also, Carolyn, we're missing her. I don't know if anyone's talked to Carolyn. She wasn't feeling well either. So we're just, like I said, on all sides, but God is good. He's been good to us, and we just have to keep pressing in and keep trusting God and seeing, just reaching out to him for his health and his healing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Rabbi is, in the midst of all of this, trying to complete the newsletter. So that is coming soon. And if you will just keep your ear to the ground, those of you who are on the list to help out with the newsletter, just be aware that you might get the phone call or the text or whatever that comes out. We normally start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and in any time during the day till 4 or 5 o'clock on the day that we're accomplishing that newsletter. You know, we encourage anyone who's able to come and volunteer and help us put the newsletter together. Sometimes we're also able to come if you have time the day before. There's some jobs, pre-jobs, that can be done. So just call the office if you're interested in helping, and you can get on that list so that Sharon can call you when we're ready to go. Due to Rabbi and I getting COVID, unfortunately, we were supposed to be traveling to Florida yesterday. He was supposed to get his treatment for the oblation, and so obviously that did not happen. And so he's battling this. He's doing well, but as you know, his system is weak, and so he's gotten through fever, and I think he's good. We had a blood pressure issue yesterday. We worked through that and discontinued one medication, actually two medications now. So anyway, I think he's on a good track of recovery, and they rescheduled his oblation for the 29th of August. So just keep that in mind. And I am scheduled now for training to go back and get re-qualified so I can get back into the air in on September 7th. So that's kind of the a few dates up ahead. And then don't forget that the false feasts, Rosh Hashanah, is going to be September 26th. So it starts late this year. Usually it's mid-September. But Rosh Hashanah is September 26th, and then the week after is Yom Kippur, and then a week after that is Sukkot. So pencil that in. Those are God's appointed times to have some intimate time with us prophetically. He's got something to say every year. So come into the house of the Lord and ready your hearts for revival and for hearing what his plan for the world is prophetically and for you as well. And that's about all I have, except for stay tuned. We're going to have some worship, and then Pastor Ed Bowers, you're going to love it. He's got a wonderful treat for us today. His lovely wife is also battling the COVID, and so she's at home. And so please keep them in your prayers. Did I miss anything as far as announcements? Carol, Dave? Sharon. Sharon is good as far as I know. She's been into the office a couple times. I met with her this week. So she's doing okay as far as I know. I haven't heard anything otherwise. Anything else to add? Praise the Lord. If you have any questions or would like to talk to the rabbi, just give us a call. The number's on the website there. And just leave a message. We don't keep normal hours, so if you'll just leave a message, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. All right. Who's going to take the offering? Anthony, would you please take the offering?
And in more ways than one. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this, for your Shabbat today, Lord, and we ask you to bless this offering that we're about to take, Lord. Will be a good measure pressed down and shaken together, Lord. It may be overflowing, Lord. We have a lot of needs here in the congregation and also in the building here today. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just bless us today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
The offering box is in the back, and if anyone would like to contribute, whether a tithe or to this ministry for the sake of Zion and for lifting up a testimony of Israel in this region, we welcome your help, and God welcomes your help. You can securely make a payment on PayPal on the website, so just go there. And we're going to start with Enter His Gates. And hallelujah. Come on up. I'm going to have Miss Deborah. She's going to come up and just join our singing because I'm a little light on the strength. And she's going to sign for us. So she knows how to sign. We've got several signers in the congregation. And I'm just hallelujah. Carol, you ready? What's that? All right. Just don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Let's make a joyful noise. And sometimes that's all we can do, right? Make a joyful noise.
To be faithful in our generations. Sing hallelujah.
reach out to him.
Thank you.
Pardon for sin and the peace that
introduce the communion. Ed and Anthony, please. Do you want to just introduce the communion? Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. I think one of the most significant things we'll do today is come to the table of the Lord.
Is your mic on? Turn your mic on.
It does. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup. And he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Hallelujah. The broken body of Jesus was broken so we could have wholeness. Our whole being, the Bible makes it very plain in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, that we are a threefold or a trifold being. We're a spirit, have a soul, and we live in a body. There, that word soul means your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the Apostle Paul prayed that God would sanctify us wholly or completely. Spirit, soul, body. For that to happen, Yeshua had to allow his body to be broken when they beat him with all those stripes, when it ripped the very flesh off of him. Chunks of flesh being torn from Yeshua, because our wholeness was more important to Father God than that of his own son at that point. You think of that. That's the value Father God has placed upon each of us, upon all humanity, who will accept it and receive it. And then he talks about the new covenant that's in his blood. In the book of Hebrews, hallelujah, glory to God. The Bible is just such a rich book, and it's there to enlarge our understanding of all that's been provided for us. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 and 20, listen to what the Word of God says. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. He's talking to all of us in the old covenant. Only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in once a year into the holiest of holies, and he did not go in without sacrifice, without the blood. And Paul says, now we have this new covenant whereby we come with boldness. We boldly enter in to the very holiness of God. How can we do that? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His broken body and the blood that poured forth created an opening by which we come boldly, not through our ability, but through the ability of what Yeshua did for us. Hallelujah. He said, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Yeshua not only wants your body, my body, those of you that are watching, he wants your body healthy and whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body. But he also wants that for the body of his son, Yeshua, all believers. He wants us to be whole so we can function in whole and properly represent Yeshua to a world that desperately needs him. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Maybe you're watching. I believe all those that are assembled with us today in this congregation have received Yeshua. But maybe you're watching and you never really invited him into your heart. You may say, well, I grew up in church. That doesn't matter. Thank God for that. That's good. But that won't save you. If joining a church and writing your name on a card would make you a part of Yeshua's body, then you could write your name on a barn door and shake a mule's tail and become a barn. Hallelujah. It doesn't work that way. You've got to go, as Brother Anthony said earlier, we got to do it God's way. God's got a prescribed way, and it's easy. It's not hard. It's easy. All you have to do is confess your sins to God. You don't have to stand there and go through and enumerate each one of them. You've probably forgot a lot of them. But you know, the good thing is in Yeshua, when you accept him, all your sins are forgotten. They're cast afar away from you, as the east is from the west, cast into the sea. God's never going to remember anything you've done that was wrong in your past. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's why the gospel is called the angulion, the good news. Hallelujah. So right now, I'd just like to lead you, if you're watching and you never received Jesus as your Savior, just repeat this simple prayer with me right now, because you can't partake of the table of the Lord without knowing Yeshua as your personal Savior. Just pray with me. Say, Father, I acknowledge I have sinned. And I acknowledge I can't do a thing to save myself.
And I acknowledge I can't do a thing to save myself.
No matter how hard I might try.
No matter how hard I try.
My sacrifice alone is not sufficient.
My sacrifice alone is not sufficient.
Thank you for the sacrifice of your son Yeshua.
Thank you for the sacrifice of your son Yeshua.
Yeshua's sacrifice was more than enough.
Yeshua's sacrifice was more than enough.
I accept him as my Savior. I thank you right now, Father.
Based on the promises of your word.
I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. The path of life is now before me. And by your grace, I'll walk in it and follow Yeshua.
I'll walk in it and follow Yeshua.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you into the family of God. You're now a child of God, son and daughter of God. And this congregation wants to help you. And do you have a number on the screen that they can call?
It's on the website. So they can call and we can meet with them or send them some information.
Okay, and what is that website?
It's forzionsake.org.
ForZionsake.org, if you'll go to that website, there's a place where you can make contact with this congregation. Rabbi Joe will send you information and call you and contact you if you desire contact, so that we can walk you through the steps of your new life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. What we're going to do today a little bit differently, we're going to ask you to come forward and take your matzah, unleavened bread. I'm so glad that they use matzah, unleavened bread, because the Bible makes it very specific that leaven represents the doctrine of the Pharisees. It represents sin. And we don't want to mingle that, thank you, with Yeshua's holiness. Amen? So now, if you will come forward, our precious sister's going to wait on you and minister to you. Come and receive. Take it back to your seat and hold it. And then Brother Anthony is going to pray a blessing. And then we will take it together. Thank you. Brother Anthony, one other thing I want to encourage the people. Just for a moment. Paul admonished the believers at Corinth and you and I today that as we get ready to partake of this, we should examine ourselves so that if there's something that we need to repent of or ask forgiveness of, that we would do that before we partake of this. Paul said because many don't do that, that they were sickly, and some were even dying early. God doesn't want us to be sick and he doesn't want us to die, but we can open doors through our not being attentive to obey the word of God. So we're going to just take a brief moment. If something comes to your mind, Holy Spirit, I ask you right now, if there's anything that we need to have our attention drawn to, let us know that. But let's just close our eyes for a moment and ask the Lord to reveal to us anything we need to repent of. And if it does, just say, Lord, forgive me. You don't have to cry or shed tears. If you do, that's fine. But that's not a prerequisite. What is that we have a heart that says, Lord, I'm turning away from that which is wrong, and I'm turning to that which is right. So let's just take a moment.
Yeshua took the cup and he said the Barakavit, Barakadonai Elohim, Yumelakawalam, Bore Pori Hagafin. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the true vine. He took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, Barakadonai Elohim, Yumelakawalam, Hamotzi Lekim in Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua is the bread of life.
Amen. All right, let us partake. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. And it's with great love and affection.
Thank you,
that I welcome Pastor Ed. You've already heard from him a few times this morning, and many of you have already heard him preach many times. We've known the Bowers for umpteen years. It's probably 30 years now.
Yeah, I'd say.
30 years we've had a relationship.
Probably than we want to admit, but...
Right. But praise the Lord that God gives us enduring relationships.
Amen.
In God. Amen.
Yes.
That we can continue to draw from one another. Amen. Teach one another, minister to one another.
Amen.
And help the kingdom grow together, and that we labor together in the kingdom. And it's wonderful to have friends like that.
Amen.
There's no way that you can have friends in the world in the same manner that we have friends in the kingdom.
Amen.
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 And that's who Pastor Ed and Kathy are to us, friends and mentors and supporters of our work here. So with that, I introduce the anointed and wonderful world-traveled and soon to go back to Italy to minister. They're just like the Energizer bunnies. It is Pastor Ed. Let I come and
trying to find
minister,
who
she's please.
Talking about. Could I have a music stand or?
Sure. Whatever? Yes.
I know there's not a lot of people. I just like to get close to you. I'm not going to come sit down beside you. Don't worry. But hallelujah. Thank you. Wherever's best for the. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Dawn, God bless you. You're more beautiful than ever. Hallelujah. You know, one of the shames of our age is we live in the disposable era or age where so many things, you know, you just use it once and you throw it away and it becomes a part of a great garbage pile someplace. Unfortunately, we kind of tend to treat relationships that way if we're not careful. I'm just connecting in just for a moment on what Dawn will say. Relationships in the kingdom of God ought not to be that way. Even if you go some, you know, a different direction to some other part of the country or whatever, we need to stay in contact with one another. I draw from people that don't even live closer. I draw from people that live in foreign countries where we've been, or that we've simply met someplace. And we kept track with each other, and it keeps a freshness coming in. And we need that iron sharpeneth iron. And sometimes we don't enjoy that rubbing process. But if we allow it, it'll keep us sharp. Amen. Hallelujah. As one old guy said, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest one either. Glory to God. I'm going to share with you, before I get into the word, and I promise I'm going to really try not to be long-winded today. But I just, yesterday evening, we were sitting down, Kathy and I were watching the Southwest Believers Convention with Brother Kenneth Copeland. I don't know if many of you have ever heard him or not, but anyway, we were just enjoying the presence of God in the convention and those that were speaking. And while I was watching that, God just spoke to my heart and said, I want you to tell the congregation, and he told me what to share with you. And so I'm going to do my best to do that very thing. And I'm going to try to share it with you just from the same way I heard his voice speak it to me. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, that God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And the Lord God said, let there be light, and there was light. And what God drew to my attention, he'd showed it to me before, but he just said, I needed to share this with this congregation. God saw that there was a problem. Things were not in order. In fact, a lot of Bible commentators and people really dig deep into these things feel like that this was not the initial creating, but this was the word earth be without form and void was a result of a cataclysmic thing that happened when Satan was cast from heaven to the earth. Either way, one thing's for certain, God doesn't like darkness because God is light. Amen. God hates darkness. So darkness being there was out of order. Whether or not you believe or don't believe in that there was a pre-Adamite world or anything like that is really irrelevant. What counts is it was out of order. Our God is a God of order. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not the author of confusion. You know, so many times in the body of Christ, we just allow confusion to go on and we don't address it. We don't try to deal with it. But we'll get together and we'll talk about how bad it is that there is confusion. Amen. Especially if it's in the congregation. If there's something that's not right, we tend to get, we'll talk about it. You know, and generally, if there's something that's not right, somewhere or other, it's connected to someone or some group of people. And so we'll get together and we'll talk about the, you know, they're just out of order. They're just not doing it right. They're not, whatever it is. And it's way too broad for me to try to enumerate examples. But here's the thing the Lord was speaking to my heart, was that we need to do what the Bible tells us to do. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says that we ought to imitate God and follow his example. If you're going to imitate God, and the Amplified says, as dearly beloved children imitate their father, we need to imitate our heavenly father. If you're going to imitate God, that means you got to do what God's doing. Now, I know in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it's talking basically about love. If you go back to chapter 4 and look at it, it's dealing with love. And Paul's admonishing them, hey, you need to follow after love. God is love. You need to act in love. And we certainly need to do that. But this principle of imitating God, aren't we instructed in the Word to do it His way? That's following His order. Amen. So if God looked on disorder and he just didn't allow it to stay, he dealt with it. We need to deal with it. How did God deal with it? God dealt with it by releasing himself into that that was out of order. And when he released himself into it, then it got into order. You see, when God said, let there be light, he was releasing himself because 1 John chapter 4 tells us God is light. Amen. He's light. So God released himself into the darkness. When God released himself, everything else had to move aside. Now we have the ability to do the very same thing. We are light according to, let me look here real quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 5. Where are we? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul says, for you were once darkness. He didn't say you were in the dark. He said you were darkness because we used to be in Satan. He was our father. We were his offspring, as it were. His seed, his word of deception, was living in us, and that seed of deception produced darkness. God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine to them and they would be saved. That's why people are lost. That's why they haven't come to Jesus yet, because of the seed of darkness, and that seed of darkness inside of them keeps them blinded. Okay. It says, you once were, but now listen to this. But now, say now. Say, now there's a change. If somebody says, you know, I used to do this, but now, the fact they say now tells you the next sentence is going to be telling you what they're doing now that's different than what they used to do. He said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. He didn't say we have light. We are light. We're as much light as God is light. His seed's in us, right? Oops. Is that still working?
Yeah, good. But I got it. Yeah, there we go.
Keep my hands off of it, it'll be fine. There are a lot of things if we keep our hands off of and put our mouth to, it'll be just fine. So we can release light. We can speak to situations, the Word of God, and declare what it should be instead of what it is. God did not stand up and say, darkness, be. Oh, it's dark, it's dark, it's dark. Cry out to the angels, angels, it's dark. He didn't do that. He spoke what he wanted it to change in me. Things will not change because you declare how they are. They will change when we declare how they ought to be. And we release our power and authority as light into that situation. You know, this may sound really strange. I've got some things to get to and in the actual message. But I still believe God wants his congregation to grow. I mean, somebody said, well, now you shouldn't come and build the people up and try to give them hope. Well, I sure ain't going to come in here and give you doubt. I know that's not God. Why not believe that God can make this place grow? You know what God spoke to me? I was coming up the highway, and I was meditating on the street that right here that the church fronts on. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, why don't you just start speaking to this community where the synagogue's at? And begin to speak blessings over it. And I just began to declare that drug dealers couldn't stay anymore. Now, I don't really know for sure they're here, but I just got a hunch. Now, I spoke that depression couldn't stay here and that a poor attitude about life couldn't stay here. And I just began to declare. And I want to challenge every one of you who are here regularly. I want to encourage you to release the light of God that you are into this community and impact it so it'll change. I you know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, the reason this church isn't growing, we're just in a bad location. Well, you know, the congregation of God's always been in bad places. Hello? I mean, when the little infant church was born, or congregation, Assembly of God was born there in Jerusalem, it wasn't the most friendly place to be as members of Yeshua's body. Amen? I mean, they didn't like Yeshua so bad that they crucified him. And then they were kind of had in their mind, I guess, hey, crucifying Jesus works so well, let's crucify the rest of these birds. Amen. But because they went for speaking and declaring the word, little bit by little bit it began to change. Now, it didn't change overnight, but it did eventually change. There was an impact. You've been sent here to impact this world, this community, your sphere of influence with your light, God's light, and with the word of God. Because the Bible says that the entrance of his word gives light. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to not see this community poor anymore. Don't talk about it, well, you know, people aren't going to come here because this community is not very nice. Start seeing it nice. Start walking up and down the streets. Do a little prayer walk up and down the streets of this community and begin just to speak and declare. You don't have to shout it out. God's not deaf. But begin to declare there's light in this community and that people are being attracted to that light, which is you in here. Amen. This is a lighthouse. Amen. You're a light. In the light, the lighthouse is no good if there's no light in it. Unless somebody climbs the stairs and gets in the right place and lights the globe, at least that's how it used to be. Now I guess it's flipped the switch. And there aren't many lighthouses left, and there aren't many lighthouses in the kingdom. But I believe this one's set here to be a light to this community, to all of Bristol, in fact. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just want to encourage you. God said tell you that, so I've told you. Now you've got to get before God and find out what he wants you to do with it. But I would encourage you, start doing prayer walks. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to pray about this community? What do you want me to speak over this community? And get out, just two or three of you get together, however many you can get. Pick a day and go walk through it. And you know what? I'd go a step further. I'd go knock on some doors. I'd say, hey, we're from the Lion of Judah Messianic Fellowship right here in your community. And we love this community and we love you. Is there anything we can pray with you about? Anything we can help you? Anything you're really dealing with? Now, some of them may slam the door in your face, and some of them may think maybe you're with the police and you're sniffing out drugs or something. I don't know. But some of them is going to open up and say, yeah. You really want to pray? I tell you what, whatever. And then start praying and believing that when you pray, it's going to start changing in their life. And they'll want to come to some place that can give them a better life. Amen? Don't leave them just out there. Get them in where they belong, where they can be trained to be successful. Look in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. What I just finished was the first message. This is message number 2. Hallelujah. Yeah, buy one, get one free. And you didn't have to cost you a dime. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. This is one of the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. The other one is found in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. And starting there in verse 14. But we're looking just in chapter 1. And we're going to begin looking. We'll just read verses starting in verse 15. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul really loved people. So much that he would be one of the greatest acts of love you can do is to pray for somebody. Amen. So he began to pray for them. And you know, what Kathy and I found out, and a lot of other people have learned also, Paul wrote this prayer. He wanted them to know what he was praying. Because there's power in agreement. How many of you know that? The Bible says if two or three agree. That doesn't mean, you know, sometimes we treat that so lightly. Hey, would you agree with me? Oh, yeah, what? Oh, okay, well, I agree with you. Yeah, it's going to be done. Let's go to Hardee's and eat a burger. And we just tend to, it just, you know, wasn't that really significant. Agreeing is making a covenant commitment with a fellow believer that we're not going to stop saying it's so until it manifests. Amen? Based on the promise that Yeshua made. If you two or three agree, touching anything they ask, it's going to be done. Of my Father, which is in Father, God's going to get involved where we get in agreement. Amen? Sure is quiet. Amen. Thank you. You know, I found out, I've been preaching for a long time. I started when I was 17. And I just found out that something about my own ministry. I just tend to get done preaching a lot quicker when people say amen. Yeah, and works every time. I've never been in a church where they didn't, yeah, amen, let's get him out of here. Hallelujah. And this is what, starting there, verse 17, Paul actually starts talking about what he prayed. Because he wanted them to get in agreement. And you can pray this same prayer. My wife, Kathy, and I have been doing this for years now. And we simply made it personal. But we pray it every day. We take the table of the Lord every day. You don't have, it's good to be in the congregation assembled to take the table of the Lord, but you can do it at home. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, hallelujah, he's not the father of gloom and despair, he's the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom. and he's the spirit of revelation. Revelation talks about knowledge. Wisdom talks about knowing what to do with the knowledge. So the Lord wants you to get revelation about who God is. And he wants you to get revelation, but then with the revelation, he wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to complete his ministry in you by telling you and revealing to you what you ought to do with that revelation that you get. A lot of people go to conference after conference after conference, and they're revelation collectors. And they collect, they just walk around like a huge bag of revelation, bouncing up and down, you know. And like this one old fellow said, he went jogging one day and then quit because it looked like that, you know, he had a basketball up under his T-shirt and it was flopping up and down because he had feet. Well, moving right along. Let the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's he's saying that you might have this wisdom and spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God. There's some things God wants us to know about him and understand about him because he wants us to act on it. God, the Holy Spirit wants to show you this is how Father God is. This is how Father God thinks. This is how Father God acts. And here's how you put that into practice in your life. And he also wants us to be doing the same thing with Yeshua. Understanding who he is, understanding what he did, understanding how he did it, and then finding out from the Holy Spirit how to put it in practice in our life. Amen? Glory to God. Then he goes on to say, in beginning there of, let's see, where was I, Henry? In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you may know what is a... And let me pause here. The three things that the Apostle Paul talks about we need to know. Now, there's a lot more than three, I know that. But in his dealing with the Ephesians church at Ephesus, this was what he was praying for. This is what he saw as a need. And I believe it's a need in our life today. First of all, he said, hallelujah. He said, you need to pray so that you have the knowledge and the ability to understand with your eyes enlightened that you may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling? The calling that we have been given is not a calling to hopelessness. It's not a calling to helplessness. Amen? See, I'm crazy, I guess. I just believe the Bible is the Word of God. Can you believe that? I believe the Bible's the Word of God. I believe that if it says it, it's true. I believe if there's a promise in there, it belongs to you and it belongs to me. Because the Apostle Paul said that all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. That's exciting. Every promise of blessing in the book is for you and I in Yeshua. If you're watching and you still haven't made that decision to accept Yeshua as your personal Savior, I'd change my mind. I'd decide I'm receiving him so you can get in on the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you can testify to the fact that since you've had Yeshua in your life, things are better? Amen? Everybody's hand ought to go up unless you need prayer for deliverance. Broke arm or something. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling involves us being changed. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From one level of glory to another level of glory. We've been called to a progressive enlightenment and a progressive glorification of walking in the glory and manifested presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Boy, that's hope, isn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes, have you ever just felt like, man, I'm hopeless. I'm never going to get over whatever. You know, there's some addiction that's been trying to bug you or some bad habit. You just got a bad temper. You got some emotions that really need to be under 1 Thessalonians 5:23, sanctified, you know. You'd just be surprised just about every major problem that you can think of that happens in the church some way is connected to people's emotions. Talking about believers' emotions. That's why they need to be sanctified. Well, I just believe in saying what's on my mind, but you need to have the mind of Christ before you open your mouth. We'll move right along. We won't stay there. Glory to God, aren't you glad? Because we could preach all day on that. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's the first thing. Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I checked that out in the original Greek language, studied it. And you know what that means? It means, listen to this. It means, if I can find it, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's exactly what it means. It means what it says. It means that God looks at you and I as because he sowed something into us, he's going to get something back out of us. He has an inheritance. He's going to root. We're looked at from that perspective. Glory to God. Wonder what it is God's wanting to get out of us. Wonder what God's looking to be his inheritance back. Well, I'm for sure, can't tell you for every individual, maybe, but I do know for every one of us and everyone that may be watching and wondering if I should accept Yeshua or maybe you're already saved, born again. I know that whatever it is, it's to glorify him. Amen. It's to exalt God. It's to exalt Christ. It's to lift him up so that the world can be drawn unto him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto him. Now, I realize that it's an individual decision people make, but is it just possible that some people aren't coming to the Lord because we've not properly lifted him up? Well, that's something to think about. And then the third thing. Hallelujah. Let's get right here. Glory to God. No wonder it looked funny. I changed my page. What is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? So first of all, number one, we need to have a knowledge of what's the hope of his calling. Number two, we need to have an understanding of what are the riches of his inheritance in us. That's collectively as well as individually. And then three, what is exceeding greatness of his power? Now, it goes on to say, toward us who believe. To the degree we believe determines the degree to which the power of God is released into our life and has an effective working or an effectual working in whatever area of need we have. You know, when you received Yeshua, you believed, and because of that believing, it enabled God to birth you into his kingdom. And you got into the body of Yeshua, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But then also, it gave you the ability not only to get born again, but if you had faith for it, it enabled you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, enabled you to speak in other tongues, believing. You know, it's for you. If you decide to receive it, that's your responsibility. Wonder why God's not doing this, wonder why God's not doing that. Are we believing? Or are we giving mental assent? I mean, any born-again Christian probably going to say, yes, I believe this is the Word of God. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Cover to cover. One old lady said, I believe even the cover says Holy Bible. Amen. So, but believing goes beyond just mental assent or knowledge. It goes into an intimacy. This word knowledge, where he says that we may have knowledge of these things. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That word know is an intimate, means intimately know. God wants us to learn how to be intimate with him. And that takes time. You know, you can't be intimate with your spouse. Just, honey, I love you. Bye. That's not intimacy. Or, honey, I love you. I need you to do this, this, and this. Bye. That's not intimacy either. It's a two-way street. There's got to be some conversation. I may be wrong, but I don't know of anybody that's ever really gotten intimate with their spouse, even down to the most intimate areas, and never said anything. They were mute, but somehow they just figured out that the other person wanted something, and they went through the whole process and never made a sound. I don't think you do that. I think we were intended to express ourselves one to another, communicate. God wants to communicate. He's got something to say. What he's got to say probably is more important than what we've got to say, but he is interested in what we're going to say, especially if what we say lines up with his word. Hallelujah. Okay, moving on. And then the Apostle Paul talking about that we who have believed, this great power is working in those of us who have believed. And he said, then he began to give examples of what that mighty power, which is the Greek word dunamis, dynamite, dynamic, miracle working. He said, was exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. And then he's going to begin to give us examples. In verse 21, it talks about that he exalted him. First, he raised him from the dead. Follow with me, see where I'm at. Starting in verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that's number one, and seated him at right hand in the heavenly places, that's number two. And then number three is another threesome, is his example of what happened when God highly exalted him and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In verse 21 says, far above all principality or rule and all power, and that's the Greek word dunamis. So above all other dynamic power, and Satan's got some power. How many of you know that? Satan can do lying wonders. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to do lying wonders. There's a lot of lying wonders going on in our country right now, being perpetrated by Satan through people, even some of them who are, they say they are anyway. I'll let them and God judge that out. Christians, but they don't know what the word says. They're not really believing the right thing. If you believe the right thing, you'll do the right thing. If you believe the right thing, you'll say the right thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then we come down to verse 21. Far above all rule, all dynamic power, all might, which is, again, that word dunamis. It's the same word, but it's translated differently. And excuse me, I said that word power was dunamis. It's not. It's exousia. It means authority. Exousia, there where it says far above all principality, power, that's actually exousia. It means authority. You can't do anything unless you've got authority to do it. Now, God's given us authority to act as his representative, and Christ did too. But to do that, you just got to do it his way. You can't just go do it. You've got to do it the way he's prescribed. That was such a good thought that Brother Anthony brought out. And then dominion means dunamis again. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Do you know in the ages to come, there are going to be things still being named, but all, no matter how many names are given out, they're all going to be in subjection to Yeshua. Verse 22, this is kind of the heart of where I really wanted to get to today. 22, and he put all things under his feet, under Yeshua's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. What is the connection between the blessing and benefit Yeshua received from the Father because the Father seated him in heavenly places and you and I? Look in verse 6 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 6. It says, and raised, well, let's look in verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, the anointed one. By grace you've been saved. 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're right there where God exalted Jesus to be. You have joint sitting with Christ. Hallelujah. Christ was given a place of authority. We've been given a place of authority. Christ was given a place of fresh intimacy with the Father. We've been given a place of intimacy with the Father. We sit in the council chambers of heaven and hear God's plans for planet Earth. And then we come down here and we begin to decree and declare those plans of God. And as we release them in faith, believing, it happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise it. It is a good word. If I had just started in here, verse 22 and 23, it would have been more than enough, and maybe I should have. But anyway, I want to share these other things with you also. So Christ is the head over all things to the church. Sometimes we get the idea that we're the head, but we're still a part of the body. Amen. We're not the head. We're still in the body of Yeshua. Now look at verse 23. This is dynamic. Which is his body, the congregation. Do you also use the word assembly? The assembly. I was reading the New Messianic Translation last night, and it uses that word assembly. Head over all things to the assembly. Hallelujah. Which is, verse 23 says, that the assembly is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the head, but we are the full expression of Yeshua in the world. Now, I want to read you something because I wouldn't dare try to trust this to my memory. But that word fullness is the Greek word pleroma. And it means fullness. But if you go deeper in studying the Greek, it gives the following. That which is or has been filled. In the New Testament sense of the word, it's talking about the body of believers. We are the ones being filled with the fullness. And because we are filled with the fullness, we are then to go forth and be the fullness to this world. Christ is the head stationed in heaven. We're on planet Earth and we ought to be functioning just like he did. Operating in the supernatural, believing and releasing the supernatural. That's what this says. The meaning is that the assembly, being the body of Yeshua or Christ, is dwelled in and filled with Yeshua. It is his fullness in this special way that this plenitude of divine power or fullness, of divine power and qualities, which is in Christ, is imparted by him, by Christ, by Yeshua, to his church. In other words, he's imparting all of his divine power, all of his divine qualities into the assembly. Man, I'd get excited about being here. Do you know what? Every time you come, Yeshua is imparting more and more of himself in you so you can be more and more filled and full of him. Woo! Glory to God. That'll light your fire, your woods wet. Let me go on just real briefly here. And here, these things has the concept or the conception here is that the plenitude of divine powers and qualities which is in Christ is imparted to him by him to his assembly, the body of Christ, so that the latter, talking about us, pervaded or empowered by his presence, animated by his life, filled with his gifts and energies and grace. We got it out. Listen, there's no assignment God gives us we can't do in Yeshua. Glory to God. God sent this congregation to be here with a purpose. How dare Satan try to tell us we can't do it because we're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. The only thing that's wrong is the place hasn't changed yet. We may need to get out there a little bit more. We may be, by faith, to be those believers that release a little bit more. Because when we do, it's going to change. And that that has been a detraction will become an attraction, and the rest of Bristol's want to come to a congregation that so impacted this community that they saw that kind of change in it. The mayor will want to start coming. Mayor of Bristol, I'm talking about. All the board, whatever they are, I don't know. Who are they? The leaders in, there's got to be some kind of a committee or something. The mayor is over. All those elected officials, they'll want to come and find out, what did you do? Because it's obvious, if you just look around in the natural, that any of the government programs have not succeeded. Amen? And it's not just that this is a peculiar area. If you go to just about any place where the government's got some type of a subsidized program going on, you'll see that it's failing. How many of you know this never fails? It never fails. It's not going to fail here. God's not going to let this be the beginning of failures and mar his record. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I hope, number one, you're going to get excited. But don't just get excited. Excitement is not intended to be the end of our destination. Oh, there are people that get with the congregation. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we dance, we shout. Oh, we blow the shofar. Yay. Now let's go down and have, what is the fresh? Oneg. Yeah, let's go get that oneg. I'm sorry. No, it's about the lunch. What do you call it? Oneg. Yeah, oneg sounds like eggnog. I didn't say that. That was a carryover. I thought that last night, trying to remember what. I thought it sounds like eggnog.
Just for you, we'll start serving that.
Okay. Yes. Give us an honored table. Kathy and I, that she'll come the next time, Lord willing. And you can just have eggnog there for us. That's all we'll get is the eggnog. Hallelujah. But we get all excited, and then we go out, and we think, well, okay, wow, well, we had a great time. Wasn't the congregation assembly wonderful today? That's the end of it. Never goes any further. The empowerment is not just so we can dance and shout and blow the shofar. There's something anointed about those. When you play the shofar, I mean, I've heard trumpets played, but when you blow the shofar, there's an anointing. I mean, you can feel it. Can't you? Have you ever done it? It's just like you feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving. But it's not just so we can blow the shofar. It's so we can be filled. It's another impartation of the fullness of Christ. All his embodiment includes all of his gifts, his character, nature, his dynamic power and authority and resources. Oh, I thought I was finished. Go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 16, real quickly. I don't want to leave this out because this is a part of the ministry of the great teacher of the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. We're going to read down through verse 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray this has been a blessing to you. I've been blessed just teaching it. When I see these things, you know, a lot of people look at it and say, I can't mean that. You know that the congregation's not supposed to be the fullness. So we're going to have everything Jesus got. Book says we do. John 16, starting in verse 13, listen to this. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is telling his congregation of those 12 disciples that were assembled. He was telling them of what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was going to do when he came. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. He's going to glorify Yeshua, for he will take of what is Yeshua's, what is mine, and declare it unto you. Verse 15, Jesus says to 14 and 15 are so connected. He goes on in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Yeshua says, if it belongs to the Father, it belongs to me. Everything belongs to the Father. Everything belongs to me. And then it goes on. Yeshua says, therefore I said to you, he, talking about the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and declare it unto you. That's because what Yeshua has gotten from the Father, we also have. Amen. Now, I know that may be a wild trip. That's wild, too. Maybe a stretch for your imagination, but I want to tell you, it's truth. Hallelujah. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need to listen more to Him. He's a great teacher. He knows what you need to know more than you think. A lot of times I've been trying to solve a problem that I had, or it was in our family or whatever, and maybe you can identify with this. And I thought I knew what the problem was, so I thought I knew what the solution was. But when I began to pray in the Spirit of the Lord began to reveal to me and show me, even from the Word, where that what I thought was the problem was not the problem, and therefore what I thought was the solution is not the solution. Amen. A lot of people, that every time there's a problem in their life, it's amazing to me. They get a problem in their life and they jump out of the assembly. They leave the congregation. You know, that's like being out in the ocean with a school of sharks swimming around your boat and you jump off. Oh, I got a problem and I don't like this boat. It's rough. It's not very comfortable. I'll just jump ship. Lunchtime, sharks. We do the same thing spiritually. We abandon the assembling. And Satan's saying there, hey, demons, gather around lunchtime. They will eat your lunch. Amen. They will eat your lunch. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can stay on board. You know, when the disciples were in the storm and Jesus was asleep in the boat, they didn't decide, hey, we're going to drown, let's jump off. There's a storm out there raging like that, and the boat's filling. Jumping off ship is stupid. You don't stand a chance in the waves. At least you got a boat. But they didn't wake up Jesus. And Jesus chided them for their lack of faith because he said, why were you so fearful? Why would he have said that except for one thing? He wanted them to understand, you go woke me up so I could speak to the waves. Now, I could say, shalom, peace be still. He was wanting them to understand, you didn't have to wake me up. You could have said it. It would have worked for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that's all I've got. I went longer than I'm intended to, but so be it. Did this bless you? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does anybody need prayer for anything today? We've got, the elders are here, and I asked Anthony before the service started how to pronounce your title.
Oh,
Rebbetson. Dawn is here. So we got authority of the local congregation assembled here, and all of us as believers have got authority. So if you've got a need today, God can meet it. Amen. So if you'd like to have prayer, please come. We'll believe God with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Praise God. Everybody's healed, whole, well, prosperous. Wow. Go for it. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Ed means that if you need prayer, if you need any kind of ministry, that's what the house of the Lord is for, right? You know, for us to come in. And I love what you said. You know, we can all get into those modes of thinking when the storm is so difficult that we just want to flee. We want to leave. And the enemy really puts that strongly in our minds, I think, sometimes, because he knows that if he can convince you to flee, then he's got you exactly where he wants you. And so we have so much within the congregation and within the safety of the pen, the sheepfold. We have a loving shepherd. We have all kinds of other soft, fuzzy sheep to snuggle up to, right? And eat green grass and frolic in the pasture. So don't flee from the pen. And we need to learn to walk in his power and his anointing. Each one of us have that ability. And God wants to change our circumstances And he wants to change people's hearts. And that's where circumstances change the most, isn't it? Is when he changes our hearts or, you know, and can give us a new perspective on life. But I hope you're encouraged today. We will continue to pray as we all do, always do. Many days a week, we are in prayer for you, for the circumstances, for the congregation, all the needs. And we love you, Rabbi and I love you very much. Very, very, very much. Appreciate you. And God has given you to us to love. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to close the service. I want to encourage you, Pastor Ed and Kathy are planning another trip to Sicily. This will be your second time over to the home of the the Corleone family. Do they have like sightseeing for that movie over there? Have you been to see some of the? Have you seen that movie? What's the name of the movie? The Godfather. You've seen The Godfather, haven't you? So he's going to the country of the Godfather, the old country.
Yeah, I know I'm going to the country of
Father God. Father God, he's bringing Father God to the Godfather. Praise the Lord. So that's being said, if you would like to contribute to their fund, and their needs as far as their ministry, and they're doing a wonderful ministry. I encourage you to get with them and support them. Amen. And just talk with Pastor Ed as to how you can do that. But they have their main ministry is still in India. They have a lot of connections there and an orphanage and all kinds of things going on. And they host a young man from the family. He comes and stays with them. And so anyway, just continue to pray for Pastor Ed and Kathy and support them as you can. Yes.
We are in the process of buying 3 acres of land so we can move and enlarge the facilities so we can accommodate children. And we've got a deadline. One acre already is a parcel of 3. So we've got 1 acre to 9 acres to go. And our deadline is the end of October.
Oh, okay. So they're trying to purchase land in India for an orphanage, and they're believing God for the funds, and they need it. The deadline is coming up, so if anyone would like to help with that, it's Following Him International, FHI. As I said, speak with Pastor Ed. But thank you very much for coming to minister to us, and I'll have Anthony come and give the blessing. We will meet next week, and we'll also have prayer during the week. You guys just follow. If you need to get onto Signal, where we're giving all the announcements and everything, just let us know. We can help you get there. Anything else? Praise the Lord. Anthony.
Okay.
So I'll stand.
Heavenly Father spoke to Moses, and he said, "This is how you will bless my people when they come before me." Yivarker Adonai vayishmarecha, Yor Adonai panavelecha vikunika, Isa Adonai panavelecha vayasimlecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, amen.